One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Out of all the chapters in the Bible, the one I have been in the last time since I've been on the tour has been my chapter for the morning and for some time during the day. There'll be two of them. One of them is John chapter 14. We ordinarily think of John 14 as the funeral chapter. Most preachers will read those first few verses in particular. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to emphasize that where I am. Is it possible for us to be where he is and to be like he is, and to be that way now? Are we going to have to wait till we get to heaven to be like him and to be where he is? Now, there are thousands and I suppose millions of dollars spent each year by people who are going to what they call the Holy Land. Actually, it would be more truthful to say they're going to the heathen land. There's not any Jesus over there. And very few, if any, real gospel, New Testament, Bible, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, Bible-loving churches over in that country. And if you were to read the book of Revelation, you'll find out why. There were seven churches in Asia Minor, and he said, now I'm going to tell you something. If you do not repent, I'm going to take away the candlestick. Your light's going out. They did not repent, and their light's been out ever since. Now, it's not hard. All you need to do, and I'm not going over there until he gets there. I mean, I've already positionized myself a long time ago about that, and I went off, you know, up north to these states, Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Oklahoma. And I had a bunch of country cousins out in the country. I'd never met them before, but they said, Brother Wolf, we want you to come up here and just stay in our house. And I, of course, picked out the basement because I had the whole basement to myself. And I said, I'll just stay right here. And they said, well, it's nicer upstairs. I said, no, this is nice enough for me. So I stayed down there. They wanted me to go pheasant hunting. And, of course, I took a shooting iron. And I took old Bill Lindley. Where's old Bill? He not here tonight. I took his little old dog, because she's small, and I put her in a little old cage and took her up there. And I tell you what, she when she began to retrieve pheasants, she thought those were the biggest Texas quail she'd ever picked up. But I took a preacher. He went with me 2 or 3 days, young preacher. And, of course, I go in places a dog would not dare enter. I mean, I went through ditches, and I fell in the creek, gun and all, and good cold water, you know. And I jumped it, but I backed off of it and fell in. And but I was hunting. And you can put it down that I got my limit in a half a day every time I went out. And little old boy looked at me and he said, a preacher, said, I sure hope I can walk like that when I get 67. I said, boy, you can't even walk like that now. 20 some odd. Yeah. That is quite an experience, I tell you. Really, well, I know one thing. I sure burned up the fuel and I was ready to go to the table. I enjoyed. And you know, that's the way it is in the Christian life. When we exercise ourselves under godliness, we get hungry. You sit around and watch television, you don't get too hungry. I mean, you stare at the world, you don't get much. You don't ever work up an appetite. But you get out and hustle for God, and I mean move, and you'll get hungry spiritually. The Bible said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, John chapter 17, and we come to the heart of the message right here. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. It's here. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Jesus said two things. He said, Father, you glorify me that I may glorify thee. I can only glorify God with the glory that he puts in me. Then he said, without him I can do nothing. Jesus was completely oblivious to his own desire. He never performed a miracle for his own benefit. He could have, but he didn't. He could have splintered the cross he's hanging on. He could have taken the cross beams and killed everything within a half a mile of him, but he didn't. But he said, without thee, I can do nothing. Without thee. Now, when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, that's when his miraculous ministry. And he said in John 14, I didn't go ahead and read that, but brother, in John 14, verse 12, said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, brother, think that over. You don't get that in the seminary. They don't touch that. They read on class that. You don't get that preached to you and taught to you anywhere because, and I'm going to show you, if I have time at the close of the message tonight, what got Jesus in trouble when he went to the synagogue on Saturday. Now, he's simply saying, as thou hast given him power over flesh. Didn't say that. Said over all flesh. That's all. That means all you got. Over all flesh. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I feel led to ask everybody to stand while I read this chapter. Stand quickly. You could never show too much reverence for the Word of God. Especially this chapter. He's entering the death chamber now, and this is his last prayer. Actually, this is the Lord's Prayer. I cannot fathom its depths, but I know that I respect the 17th chapter. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the word. The words which thou... Now, that's the word given, the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Look out. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. those that thou gavest me I've kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy, amen, my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Here we come right now. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, here's that other verse. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. The I am is praying for me to be where the I am is, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I've known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I've declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You may be seated. There are two statements, I will and I pray. Now then, is his prayer going to be answered? If he prayed in the will of God, it'll have to. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it'll be done. The question, did Jesus ever pray a prayer that was not answered? The only answer would be, no, sir. Now, has the will of Jesus been done, and was the will of God? He said, I delight to do thy will, O God. It's written in the volume of the book. I delight to do thy will, O God. Now then, the connection I want us to get tonight is how much like him am I supposed to be? How much of him can I have, and how much, no, I know I'm talking to my heart and yours, how much do I have to sin because I'm human? How far can I go in holiness while I live on this earth? Have I got to wait till I get to heaven? Is there any way? Now, I'll give you two verses. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Let not sin therefore reign. 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 That means king. Kings reign. Sin's not supposed to be king. Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body. I want to give you nine things the Lord gave me, and these will be very brief, and then share with you the challenge of the message. Number one, admit. Kind of hard sometimes. You say admit that you've had a sin fit. That's number one. God never did save righteous people because there wasn't any. Because he said, I didn't even come to call righteous people. I didn't come to call right. I came to call sinners to repentance. And until you come to repentance, then there'll be no real victory. Admit that you've had a sin fit. I tell you, the thing that has crept upon the people in our generation, sin's not sin anymore. And boy, when you touch on this, I mean, you talk about the religious Sanhedrin and all the rest. They raise their eyebrows. I got to Michigan last Sunday night, and of course the house had a big crowd in it. But the big crowd at that very time were watching Tom Landry and the Cowboys on the Lord's Day. You say, you don't think that's wrong, do you? No, sir. I know it's wrong. I just know when we lose the Lord's Day, we've lost Christianity in this country. And I just haul off and say out loud, the preacher sits around his television Sunday afternoon watching, and some of them have carried the televisions to church in order not to miss something. I went into pastor studies. Man, they had television sets as big as that organ over there in their study. Don't you know that inspires them to preach and pray? Look at that bunch of hussies and homos coming out of Hollywood, said, boy, huh? You see how still it gets even here. I tell you what, you see, most anybody can cry out against liquor, or at least used to. Now then, they don't anymore. Every grocery store is a liquor joint. I tell you what, we've already come to the place in this country where the wet noodles are afraid to cry out against the sodomites. Well, we better admit we've had a sin fit, and then we better submit what we got to Him. We better submit our case to Him. And then we better permit Him to cleanse us and save us. Then we better commit our life for His service. And then what would be wrong in remitting what we have to Him? You ever got one of those little letters that said, please remit? Now, that's just a nice way of saying you better pay your bill. My biggest bill I owe to Jesus. You know why? I got my greatest product from Him. I got something that'll take more than money to buy. Time cannot wear it out, and eternity cannot phase it. It's permanent. And so why shouldn't I remit and then become, actually, while I'm down here, sunlit, capital S-O-N. Why couldn't I be lighted up? Why couldn't somebody accuse me of being a Christian? Why couldn't somebody say, hey, I remember I walked in the post office, and I'd never paid any attention. It's just dawned on me. I'd been going to the post office, and they said, Brother Olaf, what are you so happy about? Reminds me of a dear old colored man used to say. He said, I said, what are you laughing? He said, just laughing cause I'm living. They said, why are you so happy? I said, I'm a Christian. They said, we've noticed you coming in this post office. And every time you come in, see, I didn't know. I was on display, brother. They were watching me. Now, we'll forget Mr. W.D. Baker, Waco, Texas. I mean, he had the big tire store, and I went in there, and I always wanted good tires for the old car that I had. And he took a liking to me, but I didn't know it. And one day, he fell seriously and went to hospital and called for me. I'd never visited a man like that. I mean, I'd just gone to Baylor. And I went up there, and brother, you talk about a frightened man. He said, Brother Wolf, I saw my little girl that died. She was across the river saying, come on, Daddy. And she, her little hand was up, and she was beckoning for me to come. And he was a Methodist. And he said, Brother Olaf, or he said, Lester, call me Lester. I just started out in the minute. He said, Lester, you've been coming in my place of business, and I just noticed you've always had a good spirit. You've been kind. You've been witnessing and talking. And said, I thought I was dying, and I wanted you to come, and I want you to pray with me, and I want you to help me. I mean, a businessman, the leading tire man in Waco, Texas, W.D. Baker, that I knew for a long time. You know what he said? And he reached, and he gave me either, and I never had a gift like that, he gave me either a $10 bill or a $20 bill. Brother, now you talk about a chunk of money, have it one time, I stuck it in my pocket. He said, I just want to give you something. And he said, you know, I go to a Methodist church. And he said, I'm kind of disgusted with it. And this is what he said, never forget it. He said, now, they don't even have Wednesday night prayer meeting anymore. He said, now, of course, I never go, but I want them to have one anyhow. Huh? What kind of church would this church be if all of its members were just like me? And to me, church runs 7 days a week. And if it doesn't, you just may be a hypocrite. Brother, you don't close down the factory on Sunday night when you give the benediction or have the postlude. I mean, the Christian life is a seven-day affair. Now, sunlit. And then there's another word, I know it doesn't quite say good English, but there's just some things you got to forget. I mean, forget. That's the thing that's killing some of you people around here. You're still hanging on. Now, some of you would like another taste. Some of you'd like one more flame. I mean, you just somehow, I just like to, and the devil's saying, you ought to just go back and see if the liquor tastes like it used to for you. I mean, just go back and try it one more time. I mean, and there are maybe just go in a liquor store to prove that you can go in there without drinking, huh? Bible said abstain from all appearance of evil. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You remember the old boy that got saved and stayed out of the liquor joint, and finally he's walking down the street and he just turned right in. I mean, clean as he could be, fine as he could be. I mean, smile on his face. And you know what they said? Oh, Bill, man, boy, glad to have you. Drinks on me. Come over. And he said, no, I didn't come in here to drink. No, sir. They said, you know what? Said, we'd heard that you'd been saved, and we're glad to find out you haven't been, and you've got religion, and we're glad to see you back in here. Bill said, if that's the way you feel about it, boys, I did get saved, and I'm gone, and I'll never drink again. But anybody that walks in a liquor store acts like an unsaved man. No man goes to the beer joint. No girl or boys goes to rock and roll festivals and Rolling Stones and that bunch of mud balls. You never get around that filthy bunch. Ah, hear me, dear friend. There's only one hope for our young people. You see, there's no answer to the real product. I mean, they said that indeed notable miracle has been performed, and we cannot deny it. But that they don't keep on, let's tell them to shut their mouth about Jesus, because they had sense enough to know the miracle came from Jesus. That's what they don't want. Oh, they'd like to get rid of the Holy One of Israel. All right? Then, are you willing, and I'm going to bring the message to a close now in a little bit, are you willing to become and be happy as a misfit? That's it. We started out with admit, you've had a sin fit, submit, commit, remit, sunlit, and then forget some of the junk that you were tied up in, and then just say, Lord, if it's to be a misfit, who was the world's biggest misfit? Jesus. Jesus. Did Elijah fit? Why, he said, you troublemaker. Did Paul fit? They said, you pestilent fellow, ringleader of the sect of the Nazarene. Can you be a happy misfit? Now then, I've been hooked on something for the last 2 months, and that's Jesus preaching. I went over it again on this tour. Jesus went back to the synagogue where he was brought up. They permitted him to preach. So far as I know, that's his last time. I don't think I'd go back if they tried to kill me. And he went in and preached, the hometown boy. The boy that no doubt was noted for being peculiar and a little unusual. He'd never sinned one time. And they said, he's preaching Saturday in the synagogue. No doubt it was filled. And here's the thing that I went over in my mind again. Everything that he preached to was lost, every one of them. There wasn't one saved person in the synagogue, all religious. I wonder how many would be saved in the average church next Sunday morning. I'm not the judge. That's none of my business. I'm just simply saying they all had religion, but none of them were saved. And here's the second thing that I've gathered. Nobody got saved. Not one person got saved. While the Son of God, the Savior, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, when Jesus, in his sinless perfection, I mean, he stood there and preached, and they marveled at his gracious words, and he spoke with power, and yet not one of those religious people. Why, he'd have done better in a rescue mission. And yet the church is supposed to be a rescue mission. You say, how do you know? You read, all were filled with wrath. That's all of them. That means everything in the synagogue. When he got through preaching, he might have given an invitation. I don't know what happened, but I know this. All of them were filled with wrath. And all of them, they pushed and shoved him to the brow of the hill. And they were going to throw him down headlong. And that means only one thing. They had to be unsaved to do it. And they had to be murderers to do it. And yet they were no doubt acceptable members of the synagogue. They had their own religion, and they were satisfied, and they would not heed the words of Jesus. He preached from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, and verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Isn't that what we're working with? That's the same ministry. And then to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Three times they mentioned preaching. He preached, he preached, he preached. And yet, folks, I warn you tonight as I close the message, if Jesus could stand and preach in his noble, wonderful power, and not one gets saved in the synagogue, and every one of them want to kill him, it may not be too much of a surprise if some of you were prone to walk out of here without Christ tonight. What a dangerous thing. What a horrible thing. Can you imagine, Brother Crummy, the synagogue filled with religious people and all going to hell, and then stand before him at the great white throne judgment, falling into a devil's hell, and said, I heard him preach. I sat at his feet. I could have been saved. And I tried to kill him. You better be careful, boys. Right. You're in the place to get saved now. Girls, boys, men, women, don't miss your opportunity to get on salvation's boat to go to heaven.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.